Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Bonjour mes amis, welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's ARC Weekend and we are looking ahead to some great action at Longchamp on Sunday. Before that, we will be looking at seven races on ITV over in Britain and also the ARC Weekend undercard. Five decent group races at Longchamp on Saturday as well. We'll get all the naps as well. Producer Adam's pulled out all the stops, that beautiful picture of the new look Paris Longchamp in the background. Let's introduce the panel. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted first up to be joined by that fine judge, top man and back to full health now after his man flu bout last week, Paul Keighley. Next up, over in Dublin, one of the finest fellas I've ever worked with, an absolute top man, really nice guy, great judge, knows everything there is to know about racing. No one's got a bad word to say about him. It's Paddy Power's Frank Hickey. And last and very much least, when we do these postcasts, we try and make sure that they last roughly the average length of a commuter time, so that the idea is you sit yourself down on the train, you press play, and by the time you get home, you've got all the winners and you've reached the end. When DJ is on the team, that rule only applies if your place of work is London and you live in Inverness, because he's never short of a word or two. But DJ, welcome along. How are you, my friend? All good?
I'm not great now.
Oh, come off it. Come on. You know I love you.
I was all ready for that lovely build-up.
Right then, let's get stuck into Ascot on Saturday. We'll take the four ITV races as they come in chronological order. We'll start with the 150, the Duke of Edinburgh's award, Rouse Stakes, a listed race. And Frank, how did Paddy Power bet?
Yeah, we've joined favourites with Mr. Lupton and Muthmere at 7-2, Spring Loaded 5-1, Judicial 6-1, Mythmaker 8-1, A Moment of Man is 10-1, number 16's bar.
Kills from good old favourites rising up the 5 furlong straight at Ascot. Who will pass the line in front?
Yeah, hopefully Spring Loaded. 3 starts ago, ran first time over 5 furlong at Ascot and absolutely bolted up in a handicap. Beaten in 2 out of handicaps since, but has run well. And I just think Ascot and 5 furlongs really, really suits him. The form horses, your likes of Judicial, Mr. Lupton and Mupton, have all got penalties of some sort, which makes it a very, very tight heat. And I think there's going to be, there'll probably be plenty of pace in it if A Moment for Madness. And we shouldn't rule him out, but A Moment of Madness, because he won at Doncaster last time pretty easily. And it's hard to do it from the front of Doncaster. It's also hard to do it from the front of Ascot. So he could be improving fast, but he might set it up for a finisher, which is Spring Loaded for me. And I think 5-1's fair.
Do you agree with that, DJ, or are you going to look elsewhere?
I'm going to look elsewhere, Bruce. The one I thought was massively overpriced was Under the Covers. You might see a rating of 97 and say that's not good enough to win a race like this, but she's getting weighed from everything. Mr. Lupton just says rated 110, is carrying 9.5. So Under the Covers rated £13 lower, but she gets £9. And you can forget the run at Doncaster last time, because I didn't think she got any space to manoeuvre at all. Didn't think that was her true run. Go back to the run before that at Tipperary. That's rock solid form. She was 4th to Blue Uluru. Hit the Bid was 2nd. Different League was 3rd. I thought that was a real good run. I think a race like this will suit her. And 16s each way, I think, is a big price.
Righty-ho, and Frank.
Oh, I'd be very, very confident that Spring Loaded will run a massive race here. Paul's kind of stole my thunder with everything he said there. Like, he's getting the weights, getting £5 off Judicial, Mr. Lupton, £3 off Muttmere, running over 6 furlongs the last twice, back to 5. Strong pace, there's loads on here with last year's winner, Just Glamorous, A Moment of Madness, and Mythmaker all like to be handy and get on with it. It'll set it up for him, and Kirby's back on for the first time since Ascot, and that Ascot race has worked out really well as well. I think he's got a massive chance.
Is that as confident as you're going to get on the postcard today, Frank, or have you got even more up your sleeve?
No, I'm going to get carried away with one later.
Oh, can't wait for that. Right then, the 225 is the Stella Artois Cumberland Lodge Stakes, Group 3, just the 5 runners. How'd you bet, Frank?
First 11s, 11-8, Communique 9-4, Blakeney Point 9-2, Larib 5-1, and Great Britain's 25-1.
Is this a piece of cake, DJ? And if so, who's going to win?
Yeah, I don't like tipping favourites, but I think the favourite will win. I know the ratings suggest that Communique should probably be winning because it's getting weighed from first 11. But I just think Communique this will be his 13th start of the season. I know the Mark Johnson horse is thriving racing, but this is only first 11, 6 starts. He's had half the racing that Communique has. I loved the run the last day. I thought it was really smooth, course and distance form. It was 3rd to Baghdad in the King George, the 5th Stakes at Royal Ascot. Obviously likes Ascot. It's just building up all season, getting there and getting there. I think he's a worthy favourite. I'd be disappointed if he was beaten.
It's communique, lads, not communique. Frank, who wins this?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult to look beyond first 11. Now, Larib is a bit interesting with the first-time blinkers, and he was he ran three times earlier in the season, second the Brigadier Gerard behind Poets Word, disappointed then in the Wolferton and in the Princess of Wales Stakes at Newmarket. But Owen Borough's horses weren't going great then, and they're in tremendous form now. So I give him a chance with the first-time blinkers. But, yeah, it's very hard to look beyond first 11. Like, you go back to Royal Ascot, he really should have won. And although that was only off of Mark in 91 the last day, at Ascot, he beat Ghostwatch very easily. And getting weighed here, I think he's the one to beat. It's very difficult to see him beating.
Are you going to roam with the Joel Kills?
Yeah, exactly the same. I mean, first 11 should have won that race at Royal Ascot as well, and then he came back and won very easily here last time. Communique was miles behind him at Royal Ascot. He ran really badly then. I always dislike a horse that doesn't run its race at the course. Larabe, I'm not convinced he's going to stay a mile and a half, to be honest, but he's officially the best horse in the race and the best of the weights. There's going to be rain. So that might make Blakeney Point interesting. He probably wants more than a mile and a half. But yeah, I think first 11 is probably a fairly safe favourite.
Okay, let's move on to the 3 o'clock. It's the John Guest Racing Bengoff Stakes, and Lamato bidding for a hat trick heads the market, Frank.
Yeah, Lamato's 9-4, Projection 3-1, Dream of Dreams 9-2, Laugh a Minute 11-2, Gift of Master 6-1, and we're 16s bar.
And with the rain incoming, that makes Lamato an interesting proposition. What do you make of him, Frank?
Yeah, if it rains, it won't be in his favour. I'm going to take a chance on one here. Laugh a Minute for Roger Varian. This race has been won by three-year-olds 5 times in the last 8 years. And this is actually progressing along nicely. Like, last year, it won that big sales race at Doncaster. Was fourth in the Pavilion Stakes. Ran okay up at Hampton in the conditions race, only a length and a quarter behind Sir Dancer. And, of course, he's been really consistent this year. Now, disappointed at Ascot again in the Commonwealth Cup. But it's the run when it beat Top Score at Doncaster. Did it very easy. And Top Score kind of fits in with Lamato here because Lamato beat him at Newmarket 2 runs ago. And then he's gone over to Deville, where it was second to the horse I'm going to go mental about later on, Tantim. And that was ultimately well beaten. But it was a good second in that Group 3. I just think getting a bit of weight and this race, it's not the strongest. I think he's got a good each-way chance.
Okay, Kills.
Frank stole my thunder. I quite like Laugh a Minute as well. I'm a massive fan of Lamato. I wanted to have a decent bet on him, what I thought was a weak foray on Sunday, but he didn't make the entries for that. They're obviously sticking at 6 furlongs. He's got some good form at Ascot. I'm not actually convinced that Ascot is his track, though. You know, he's got much better form elsewhere, even though he's won there. He was third in a Diamond Jubilee, so he can't be that bad. But, yeah, like you said, Laugh a Minute was impressive at Doncaster. That Tathmeme came out and beat City Lights quite easily last time. He's second favourite to Batash in the Prix de l'Abbaye, so I think that's pretty solid form. I think Hey Jonesy, if you can ignore a couple of runs, if he comes back to his Commonwealth Cup fifth, he'd have a squeak, getting amongst the places, almost a complete rank outsider. But yeah, I like the look of Laugh a Minute.
And who do you like the look of, David?
Oh, this is vintage me, Bruce. I'm going to give Projection one last chance. Hasn't won since September 2015, would you believe? And he's one of these nearly horses that nearly wins, always looks unlucky, and I always fall for them. But I just go to that Ascot form. We're talking about Lamato maybe not liking Ascot. Projection loves Ascot. It was third to outdo in the Wokingham last year, but won his group. He was beaten half a length by Blue Point in a Group 3. And then he was an unlucky fifth, only beaten 2.5 lengths by Merchant Navy in the Diamond Jubilee. So I think Ascot is his track. And you go back to the last time behind Lamato at Newmarket. He was caught on the wrong side, got outpaced. The race wasn't run to suit at all, I didn't think. I just go back to that Diamond Jubilee run. And I think if he reproduces that, I think he'll win.
Do you rate that tip, Kills?
No, I've given up on Projection. I have tipped him. I've tipped him at least once this year. But I mean, it's one of those. He just looks like he's going to win and then doesn't. So, not for me.
Okay, it gets tougher. The 3:35 at Ascot is the Challenge Cup Heritage Handicap, and Kate Byron, I believe, is the jolly just ahead of one of your old muckers, Flaming Spear, Frank.
Yeah, Kate Byron's 11-2, Flaming Spear 6-1, Ripoff 7-1, El Primo Sol 8-1, Gilgamesh 9-1, Shade McCoy Racing Sand 10-1, Good Effort 12-1, and we're 14s bar.
Another race, Kills, where you've backed, tipped, sworn at, cursed, fallen in love with every single runner.
Oh, God, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, yeah. Well, I just I can't, you know, Ripoff is just so solid, isn't he? Just loves the track. He's run there three times this year. He's beaten 89 of 91 rivals, won two big field handicaps, finished third in the other one. Two starts ago, he ran there and he won. He saw loads and loads of daylight early, but it still didn't matter. Jason Watson just sat quietly, and then when they hit the final furlong, he decided, let's go, and he got up one by three quarters of a length. He's, you know, hard horse to handicap when they do things like that. Last time out, he was fourth at Newmarket last week to Muntadab, but they went so slow early. I mean, he was only just starting to get going, and, you know, he still did best of all the horses that were held up. I just think he'll run well, he'll run his race. I look at a bigger price, I like Shady McCoy, who's got loads and loads of Ascot form, won at this meeting last year in a big field. Not in a race this good, but he does have good form in big field in the top big field handicaps. I think he'll go well. But I just think Ripoff, just back him each way, you'll definitely get some money back.
Do you like the lad in the saddle? He looks good, doesn't he?
He's very good, yeah. He's very good. Seems to have a very cool head on him.
Yeah, very good indeed. David, who's your fancy?
I just wonder if Ripoff and Kate Byron were drawn on the same side last time, who would have won? Because Kate Byron was drawn in 2 and Ripoff was drawn in 14, and it did pay to be drawn obviously nearer the near side. And I thought Kate Byron, if you stop the tape 2 out there, it was the only horse still travelling properly on the bridle. And Andrea Etzeni had to switch him to the left-hand side to make his move. And the manoeuvre cost him a couple of lengths, I thought. It was beaten half a length in the end. And I just think he's threatening to win one of these. He's gradually, I know he's been beaten by Frank's biggest love in life, Flaming Spear, but I just think he's building up to win these, and I still think he's got more in hand than the horses that's beaten him. Flaming Spear and Ripoff have beaten him the last twice, but Kate Byron has only gone up £2, and I just think this could be his day. David Egan gets on well with him as well. He rode him 2 starts ago behind Flaming Spear at Goodwood. So, yeah, again, loyalty, my worst trait. I'm going to stick with Kate Byron.
And, Frank, are you going to stick loyal to your beloved Flaming Spear?
Oh, not quite. I'm just not sure Ascot is his track. I know he ran well in the Hunt Cup. I think it's very interesting to bring Ben Cohen over to claim 5 off him. He's a cracking young jockey. The one I'm going to go for, like, you can definitely make a case for the two, the lads who put up Kate Byron and Ripoff. They look sure to be involved, and we're 5 places here too, which is grand for having an each-way bet. But I'm going to chance him at a price that ran a bit of an eye-catcher last week in the Cambridgeshire, and that's Raising Sand. He loves Ascot, and he finally, like, well, it's not... At the moment, it's good ground, but like any rain will definitely be in his favour. He was 3rd in this race last year off 2, I think it was a £2 higher, or a pound higher. He was just a massive eye catcher last week. He was an eye catcher behind Ripoff as well the time before. And you just feel getting off proper fast ground will definitely suit. And yeah, I can see him going well at an each way price.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's look at Newmarket next. The 205 is the British EBF Breeders Fillies Series Sprint Handicap. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Yeah, Field of Rev is 5-2, Perfection 3-1, Indian Tigress 5-1, Rock and Bailey 7-1, Mainly Shine 8-1, along with Lady Freeja, and we're 16s bar.
It's with you, David.
Oh, this is my nap of the day, Bruce.
Oh, good.
Am I allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm quickly falling in love with Indian Tigress, the one last time at Kempton. I could not believe she only went up £7 for winning that. I just thought she absolutely bolted up. Won by a length and 3/4. It could have been 5 3/4 lengths. Couldn't have won any easier. She's a half-sister to Deacon Blue and the Tin Man. I just thought the performance last time. And the form has worked out because there was a couple in behind her who have ran well since. And it was just visually, it was just so striking because the whole way up the home straight at Kempton, there was only ever going to be one winner. I thought she could even get a stone for it. So the fact she's only got £7, she's back on grass now at Newmarket. I think Newmarket will suit her. George Wood has ridden her on her last 4 starts. So every start so far, George Wood has ridden her, gets on well with her. I love her. I think she's got loads to offer. I think she's only going to get better. And I will really be disappointed if she's beaten. That's Indian Tigress.
You make a very strong case there, DJ. The boys will have to go some to be more persuasive. Frank, your turn.
Yeah, you can make a case for Field of Rev, who won a lot snugger than the nose would suggest the last day. She's only got £3, but I'm with David here. That Indian Tigress been let in really lightly, only getting 7. He said he could have got a stone. And just when you look at the makeup of the race, like Rock and Bailey's, I think, is handicapped to the hill. To Mayleaf Shine wants plenty of cut. Lady Frieda is slightly interesting, and the rest are coming, like the likes of Emily Goldfish, Titan Goddess. they're running class fives and class six, while Indian Tigress is running at an average enough county maiden. The way she travelled through the race, like, you'd think she could end up being rated 100. Like, she's related to, as David said, the Tin Man and Deacon Blues, who obviously were top class sprinters. So yeah, she's well ahead of her mark. I think, like, at 5-1, you could back her each way. I'd be absolutely shocked if she's not in the three, but I think she'll win.
And who does the big fella fancy?
Yeah, I was looking at her and I really, you know, I really wanted to take her. Then there's just a few things that started worrying me about her. First of all, DJ's tipped her. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. First of all, she won her maiden last year on soft ground and has been kept to the all weather since. So she's now going to go on fast ground for the first time. Secondly, that Kempton race, she did win it very easily. It was a pants class five, basically, and this is class two. She's going up way, way up in class. And second, as I just think John Gosden's found the right trip for perfection. I mean, she'd been running over a mile and seven furlongs. She was fifth to Agraterra in the Sandringham. She dropped out at six furlong for the first time at Yarmouth last time and absolutely bolted up. She bolted up just as well as Indian Tigress. Only thing is, she got £11 for it, so she's obviously been punished, but I think, you know, she's a horse that will keep on going on as well. She's obviously got to give a fair bit of weight to Indian Tigress, but I just favour her.
Okay, the 3:15 is the race of the day in Britain on Saturday. It's the Kingdom of Bahrain Sun Chariot. It's a Group 1, and the lovable Laurens is in again. What price is she, Frank?
Yeah, she's joint favourite at 5-2 with Wind Chimes. Voracious 9-2, Clemmy 11-2, I Can Fly 10s, Billiton Brook 16s, and we're 20s bar.
An interesting old race, and no mistake, Frank, who wins?
I'd be quite keen on the French horse, Wind Chimes. I know Laurens is brave, whatever, but I think initially everyone's like, it was a great performance to beat Alphonse Tory, but we do know that she sustained an injury in that race, so perhaps not as strong as we thought. Like, I think if you rate the race through Clemmy, like, she's, what, two lengths ahead of Clemmy, and, like, Clemmy is improving, but, like, on that base, it's not an unbelievable standard she's setting. Wind Chimes has been getting better, as the year went on. She's probably unlucky not to win the French 1,000 guineas. Disappointed Chantilly in the Group 3. Absolutely packed up in the Group 3 then at Deville ahead of Poetic Charm. And she missed the break that day and still danced all over in Poetic Charm. She won a listed race since. But it's the last run in Longchamp behind Recoletos in the Moulin, a Group 1. I actually was a bit painful. I backed her each way and I thought she'd nicked it, and she just got done on the line by Recoletos. I think that's very strong form, and I think it's significant enough too, they supplemented her, considering Coolmore have three in there with Happily, I Can Fly, and Clemmy. Like, I think if they were any bit confident in any of them, I'd be surprised if they were a supplementer. And of course, French trainers have a good record on the race. They've won 5 of the last 10 runnings, albeit one horse won 3 times in a row. I'm trying to think of the name. Suppressor. But still, I think it's very sound.
You're slightly concerned about the jockey. He's going to be up against the old Ballydore Battalions, isn't he?
I think there's a big weekend for that jockey. We'll get to that later.
Excellent. I can't wait for this. Kills, who do you fancy in the old Sun Chariot?
Yeah, exactly the same. I mean, earlier on in the week, Wind Chimes wasn't even favourite, and that was just completely bonkers. I mean, you've got to think, Recoletos is, until Roaring Lion started getting backed for the QE2, he was less than half the price of any other runner in the anti-post for the QE2. And Wind Chimes, who's only beaten ahead, wasn't even favourite for against the race against her own sex. She should be favourite. She should be shorter than she is, and I think she'll win. And I think, you know, Newmarket, after getting a bit of rain as well, and that'll help, because most of her form does come with a bit of cut. You know, Laurens is a lovely filly. There's no doubt about it. She tries her heart out. She's won 3 Group 1s. You certainly can't rule her out. Wouldn't surprise me if on a strong run race, Billsden Brook will run better than she has been doing lately. I thought she actually looked a bit of a threat in the Nassau when she last ran for a little while, and then she sort of got out of pace and then ran on again. I think she wants a real strong run race, which is what she got in the Guineas. But, you know, overall at the prices, I mean, I think Wind Chimes should be 7-4 and she's 11-4.
Two very strong votes for Wind Chimes, DJ. Are you going to row in with the lads or plough a lone furrow?
Yeah, I think Wind Chimes is the most likely winner, all right, but the value has probably gone a little bit. And I think the only value that's left in the race now is I Can Fly each way at 10s. She's been a bit of a forgotten horse all season. Like, she started 7-1 for the Guineas at the start of the season. Things went a bit wrong. She got very sick, but she's come back. Her last 3 runs have been so progressive. You can forget the run at Tipperary. She got no run at all when she missed a break. But she bolted up in the Group 2 Boomerang against the boys on Irish Champions weekend at Leopardstown. Like, that race was over 2 out. She swung down the middle of the track. She's getting better all the time. They think the world of her. Now, I know, obviously, Ryan is on Clemmy, I don't know if you read too much into that. Jamie gets on quite well with I Can Fly. He won in our Killarney earlier on in the season. She's not a sexy horse like Wind Chimes or Lauren's. She's not a talking horse, but she's gradually getting there. When these Aidan O'Brien fillies start improving, you really have to take note. And I think she's improved out of all recognition in the last month. So I think each way I Can Fly, I'll finish in the first three attempts.
Righty-ho, and the other ITV race is the 2:45 at Redcar. Zillions of runners. It's one of those two-year-old races. It's the Racing UK two-year-old trophy to give it its correct nomenclature. 6 furlongs, wide open. Frank, what's the latest betting?
Yeah, Vintage Brutus 11-2, Red Balloon 6-1, Swisterius 13-2, Rathbone and Strict Tempo 9-1, Beat Laban 11-1, Cody Anna, Kaamore are 12-1, Alfie Solomons is 14-1, along with Orange Blossom, and we're 16s bar.
Is this a race that excites you, Kills?
I didn't excite me as much as it did last year when there was a good thing in it at the wrong price, but this year there isn't. Vintage Brutus is the best horse in the race, but I mean, he wants soft ground. I don't know whether he wants 6 furlong yet because he hasn't tried it, so that would be a worry. One I've come down on the side of is Swisterius of Carl Burke's. I thought he just ran into a very, very good horse in Cardem at Doncaster last time, beat the rest out of sight, including Alfie Solomons, who I think might run well as well. He's run well in the big sales race at York behind Red Balloons. I think he might run well, but he's given the same amount of weight away, I think. And yes, Swisterius for me, but it's very, very hard.
Small bet?
Small bet.
Small bet. DJ, who do you fancy?
I love one in this. It's 12s of Powers, 14s elsewhere. Q Amoro, trained by Michael Dodds. I think she's a proper filly. She's rated 84, but I think she's better than that. All her form is working out. She beat Autumn Flight last time at Catterick, where the jockey was literally pulling her up for the whole of the entire final furlong. Autumn Flight came out one next time at Hamilton. She beat Queen Jojo at Beverly. Queen Jojo is now rated 98, so her form is really working out. I'd say this race has been the plan all year. She's drawn in stall 12, and two of the last three winners have come from stall 12, so I know that's a little bit of a coincidence, but Kia Moro, she's got so much speed. The time before, she just hit the front too soon, and she got a bit lonely at York. She's a good filly. I think she could be a stakes filly. She's only carrying 8-4. I think she'd be in the thick of things.
Okay, and Frank, who's your selection?
Yeah, I'm going to forgive one a disappointing run the last day, but Richard Hannon apparently thinks this Beat Laban was his 2,000 guineas horse, and while it was very disappointing at Newbury over a mile on soft ground the last day, I think the return to better ground will suit. 6 furlongs, he made his debut over 7 at Newbury. It wasn't the strongest maiden probably ever run there, but at the same time, it is a Newbury maiden, and they traditionally work out okay. I did the 5th hacked up during the week on the all-weather. Like the fact that he even thinks it's a guineas horse, this is not the strongest race. Like Red Balloons is coming from winning the sales race at York. Vintage Brute definitely wants cut. He disappointed all through the summer on fast ground. So I don't think he'll end up being favoured tomorrow. And just if Beat LeBlanc come back and improve a little bit on his first run, I think he'd be right there. We're 4 places here too. He's 11-1. I think it's a fair each way bet. Hannon has a decent enough record sending him up to red car as well, as far as I can remember off the top of my head. So I'd be pretty keen on his chance of hitting the frame at least.
Lovely stuff. Let's go to France next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
OK then, so as we said at the start of the show, it's Arc Weekend, and obviously the main event takes place on Sunday, but there's always great stuff on Saturday. If you're going across, it's well worth going on both days. We will look at the 5 group races first that take place at Longchamp on Saturday. They take place between 1 o'clock and 5:10. In terms of class, the highest quality one is the 4:40. It's the Prix de Cadran, which was always the 2.5-mile plodathon that I always used to try and get out of trouble with on Arc Day, but they've moved it to the Saturday. All I'm going to do, boys, is ask you to take us through your selections for the 5 group races. Kills, we'll start with you.
Yeah, Buntland is odds on in the 1 o'clock, and deservedly so, be very, very hard to beat. I do like the look of Night to Behold in the 3 o'clock. That's the pre-dollar. He seems to be forgotten how easily he beat Kew Gardens.
It's 3:30 even.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh yeah, 3:30, sorry, dyslexic. had to be, how easily he beat Kew Gardens. Lingfield Derby Trial showed nothing at all in the Derby or Irish Derby. Bit of a loony, but dropped to 10 furlongs last time in France. Absolutely hacked up. He's drawn one. He'll get the lead. He's got to be very hard to beat. A Dave, if it stays, if the ground stays on the soft side of good, which is what they're calling it at the moment, then he's a Group 1 horse on soft ground. I'm sure he is. That's the Daniel Wildenstein at 4.05. He's got to go very close. We go on now. The Prix de Cadran, which is 4.40, is the biggest plod of thon of all time. It's just a terrible race. It might be Group One status, but it's worse than most of the other races. I've no idea what will win it, so we'll move on. And I've no idea what will win the 5.10 the Prix de Royal.
So if we were having one bet at Longchamp on Saturday, what would it be?
Night to behold.
DJ, what do you fancy?
I'm only going to put up one, Bruce. I think at Night to Behold certainly has got a good chance. But in the 4.05, that pre-Daniel Wildenstein, I thought This Is Us got an absolute shocker from Ryan Moore at Doncaster. I thought he was the best horse in the race. I thought he was considerably the best horse in the race. Christophe Soumillon is the type of jockey that could suit him because he's a hold-up performer. I think Longchamp will suit him. I know Paul says about Addy, but it'll just be interesting to see how much cut in the ground there is. This Is Us is eights, I think. I think he'll certainly be in the first three. I think he's improved throughout the season. And if the gap's open, I think he's going to be hard to beat that in the 4.05.
What do you want to see there, DJ? More cut than expected or less for this one?
For This Is Us?
Yeah.
Oh, less, yeah. Okay. The quicker the ground, the better.
It's meant to be beautifully sunny Friday, Saturday, and then chuck it down Sunday. So that we'll look forward to seeing how that transfers. Are you going?
Yeah, I'm working there Sunday, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I'll see you there. Frank, who do you fancy on Saturday at Longchamp?
Very similar to Paul and last selections. Brunton's obviously going to be difficult to beat. Fancy Night to Behold. I think he had the Kew Gardens run and even the run last day. He won very easy. I think he's the one there. Adib as well, as long as there's a bit of cut on the ground. In the Cadran, I thought Mille et Mille was interesting at a price. I know it's 8 now, but it won the race in 2015. That was the last time it was run in Longchamp, wasn't it? And it was only beaten half a length by Vizierabad last year, and it looks a shocker of a race. And then in the 5.10, I'm not saying this is really a bet, but it wouldn't surprise me if, knowing my luck, Shanaz ends up winning an Arc weekend, but it's not in the Arc.
Yeah,
she's running there.
Yeah,
it's worth forgetting about. But she's been a little bit disappointing. But the winner of the last day, my sister Nat, is running in the Opera on Sunday, and this is probably a lower level, so maybe she'd have a squeak, but yeah.
Don't you wish, Frank, that you could manually delete from your unsettled bets all those each-way ones that have completely fallen by the wayside? Because they just haunt you, don't they, hanging around at the bottom there?
Yeah.
Never mind, mate.
They'll be gone in 2 days' time.
Absolutely. Okay, anything else you fancy on Saturday, lads, back in the UK? We've got all the rest of the Ascot card, the rest of Newmarket. We've got Fontwell. We've got a meeting at Gowran Park. We've got Wolverhampton. Anything that's not your nap that we haven't covered off, Kills?
Not from me, no.
DJ, anything from you?
Yeah, I go really quick here. I just love Saturday's racing everywhere, so I fancy a few. In the 6.10 at Redcar, Show Palace, trained by Jenny Candish. It's dropped down to market 75 now. It's the lowest it's been for a year. It's 2 from 2 at Redcar. Never been beaten there. Interesting that it comes back to Redcar on its biggest day of the year. I thought it was quite eye-catching last time at Pontefract at a big price. I think it's handicapped to win a handicap like this, and obviously loves the track. So that's Show Palace, 6.10 Redcar. 3.50 Newmarket, that big sales race. Lorton, I think, is a filly with a future. She's rated 85. She's taken time to kind of find its feet, and I think Lorton will win that 3.50 at Newmarket. In the 4.10, Laugh Aloud at Ascot in the 4.10, traded at 1.15 and finished fourth last time over a mile at Newmarket. Back to 7 now. I think Laugh Aloud will take some catching in that 4.10 at Ascot. And 2 at Goran Park, the big race, the PWC Champion Chase, Balco de Flow. Last year's Ryanair Chase winner is back in action. And the key thing here, which is huge, and do not underestimate this, is that Rachel Blackmore is riding Balco de Flow. Davy Russell is not riding it. Rode it to win the Ryanair. Gigginstown and Henry de Bromhead have so much faith in Rachel Blackmore that they're putting her on one of their best horses, who's rated 169. I think that's huge. And also, she rides Judgment Day in the Captain Christie Novice Chase, which has been transferred from Clamel. And I think that'll win too. So big day for Rachel Blackmore, Judgment Day and Balco de Flow.
What was that weird noise you made, Kills, when D DJ tipped up Laugh Aloud.
Oh, well, I had an absolute chunk on her last week, didn't I? I think she's got a hole in her. I think, you know, she definitely stays a mile. She just stopped. But, yeah, it was painful.
Oh, well. Frank, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I'd agree with Laugh Aloud. I was on that, like a dirty anti-post each way about saying she couldn't be out of the three. And, yeah, it was painful viewing. I'm actually going to take her on with one in that race at Ascot, Aim of Artemis. It's another Godolphin horse trained by... John Gosden. It wasn't Michael Stout. Won its maiden on second start at Leicester. It's actually 2 for 2 over 7 furlongs. Reappeared at Newmarket, won handy enough, carrying a penalty in a novice race at the start of the year. Went to the Coronation Stakes then. Finished midfield, wasn't disgraced, was a 33-1 shot. This doesn't look a strong race at all, and it's had a bit of a break. Now, I'm hoping that it's fully fit, but it won fresh at the start of the year. But I think she'll be a decent enough each way price there, and it's not a great race. And Gorin, just it's going to be very sharp, but it's going to be well worth watching. The 2:30, the maiden hurdle, Felix Desjee, make his hurdles debut. It was a good bumper horse last year, travelled really strong into a couple of races, particularly the champion bumper. Didn't probably see it out, but it's going over hurdles for the first time, and that might be one to follow for a little bit.
Keith Donoghue told me that that's the best young horse in the stable. Felix Desjee, the best. If there was another Sam Crow to come along, not as good as Sam Crow, but Felix Desjee is the horse they think the world of.
Kills, I know it's flat weekend, but I'm getting slightly excited hearing about Battle Code Day Flow and all this.
Oh,
stuff,
yeah, massively, yeah. Can't wait. Can't wait for it to come along. In fact, you know, the flat season's almost over for me after the Royal Ascot most of the time.
Not, really? Can't you hang on till Champions Day?
I just look forward to the jumps.
There you go. OK, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
David Jennings.
Oh, Indian Tigress in the 2:05 at Newmarket. It's 5-1 now. It will go off 5-2 or shorter.
Frank Hickey.
The 4:45 at Ascot, Aladel. If you didn't watch the Air Bronze Cup, go back and watch this. This was repeatedly stopped in its run. It's not like once. It got no run from about 3 furlongs out to about 0.5 furlong out, and it ran on really well. I'd say it was about 4th last in a field of 23 at the furlong pole. It's finished 7th, beaten 4.5 lengths. It was painful viewing if you back that. If you go back to last year, on its last start for William Haggis, it actually beat Baron Bold, who dead heated in the Air Gold Cup, and now was getting £10 that day, but off a mark of 79. A bit of cut's important, so any rain would help. And I think the visor goes on for the first time, and Martin Harley's on, and I tell you something, he's a brilliant jockey. He's becoming a bit of a go-to jockey for people wanting to get the job done, and I think this will get the job done tomorrow.
That was dropped £2 for that run of air, and it should have won.
With a clear run, I think it would have gone very close. It would have been second at worst, I think. And I think tomorrow's the day. It's run it twice at Ascot as well. Over 7, it was only beaten 2.25 lengths by Shaden McCoy, off £4 long when it's running tomorrow. And it was beaten off 76 by Millionaire, beaten 0.5 length over 6 as well. As if there's a bit of rain at all and the ground goes even on the softer side, I'd be more confident. Like if there's a right lash of rain, I'd be getting a wheelbarrow out, to be honest.
Okay, just as I'm trudging out of Selhurst Park tomorrow after Wolves have stuffed us, I will have the double blow of forgetting to back Aladel in the 4:45 at Ascot. I must make sure I lump on before the race. Kills, what's your nap?
Straightforward, 150 Ascot, spring loaded.
Spring loaded. Okay, let's do Arc Day next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post weekend. Racing Postcards, Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Paddy Powers, Frank Hickey are looking ahead to Arc Day at Longchamp on Sunday. One of the great days in the racing calendar. So many brilliant races wherever you look, but obviously the centrepiece is the 3:05. It's the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Enable looking to win it for the second year in a row. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power, Frank?
Yeah, we are 11-10 Enable, 7-2 Sea of Class, 7-1 Waldgeist, 10-1 Kew Gardens, 16's Capri, 20 Talismanic, 25 Cloth of Stars, and we're 33-1 Bar.
Keels, lead on, my friend. Is the favourite going to do it again?
Yeah, unless she bounces, she wins, doesn't she? I mean, I do think it is as simple as that. She looked brilliant. She just, you know, she's got the attitude of a horse that loves to race, and she looked fantastic when she beat Chris Alocean at Kempton. And I just don't see what's going to be. I don't think the race is, I don't think it's as strong as last year. I don't think, you know, Sea of Class has got a hell of a lot to prove for me. I was actually really impressed with her at York and I nearly backed her. And then the more I've looked at it, I thought, well, you know, beating Coronet 2.5 lengths, it ain't that good. Like, you know what I mean? I think she's something like eight, on our figures, £8 behind what Enable was going into the art last year. And she's drawn 15, which is the wrong place to be. She's never run in a fast run race in her life. Might not be a negative, but she's never run in a race with more than eight runners. And she's 7-2, she'll be at least 7-1 on the PMU, absolute guarantee, because that Waldgeist will be a shorter price. I'm going to look to bet without, and the two to bet without are Cloth of Stars and Capri. Both drawn lower than 10. Cloth of Stars obviously second last year. No form this year at all. If you look at his record, and if you rearrange his horse profile by top speed, you'll see his five best top speed figures have come with four wins and one second, and the second was to Enable in the Arc. He gets beat loads of times when in slow run races. What he wants is a real strong race. He can take a tug. I think he will go well. I think he will.
He's a sort
I think
of French well. Humezain, is he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he might be. Yeah, yeah. He you know, he will, what they say, he will outrun his odds. I think he might well get in the frame. And I think Capri, you've got to remember, he's an Irish Derby winner who won probably the best ledger we've seen for a long while last year, Stradivarius. Rekindling, can't remember what the other one was, but it was good. Crystal Ocean, like, you know what I mean? That, you know, that's red hot form. Now he was fifth on his return after, like, you know, his first run in April. But you know, at a time when, you know, we all knew Aidan O'Brien's weren't going that well, and you see the amount of times you see one of his horses run badly in a prep race and then bounce right back. So I think those two, without the favourite. Or each way.
Okay. DJ, I suspect Capri is going to feature in your argument somewhere. Am I right?
No, not at all.
All right.
I've been going
on about him all summer.
No. Maybe I have, but I go on about so much I've probably forgotten. I fancy a horse here, and Frank is going to kill me because I'm completely going to steal his thunder here. But it's not the type of horse I would usually fancy, and I'd be pretty strong, very, very strong, on Waldgeist each way. I have a theory on this race, and my theory is that Waldgeist is possibly the only horse where things have gone perfectly for this season. You could say C-A-Class maybe, but I don't think at any stage at the start of the season William Haggis was thinking about running C-A-Class in an arc. I think Andre Fab, who's won the race seven times, has said, right, my best horse at the minute is Waldgeist. Let's get this horse in proper condition for the arc for one day to peak on one day and one day only. And that's going to be in the arc. And if you go through even the RPRs this season, it was beaten in a Group 2 at Longchamp, but started the season 107. Then it went to 114, 119, 118, 121. So it's building up all the time. I thought the performance the last day when beating Talismatic in the pre-fight was really, really good. Loved its head carriage, kept down and low, grabbing the ground. It absolutely bolted up. Like Capri was in behind. I know it was his first start in a while. But if you go through the rest of the field, Kew Gardens was the peak in the ledger. Enable had filling in her knee. Obviously, she's the best filly in the race. She's the best horse in the race. But at the prices, there is doubts about the bounce factor. See if Class is a filly I like. But, you know, with her running style, if she's going to be held up out the back, she's going to have to pass horses, a hell of a lot of horses that are a lot better than she's been running against all season. Then you come to Capri, who's had a stop-start campaign, having won the alleged stakes. Study of Man has been very disappointing. So when you go past them, there's not much left. 7-1 each way, Waldgeist, for a horse that is going to peak with a trainer that knows how to peak them on this day. I think 7-1 is a huge price each way.
Okay, well, if he has stolen your thunder, he's done it pretty comprehensively, Frank.
Oh, to me, he's made a good case, and I agree with him entirely. There is no doubt, if Enable, that won the arc last year, turns up, there'll be nothing beat her. But it's a massive if. Like, as impressive as she was at Kempton, it was still only a four-runner race where she got her own way out in front. And there's a massive chance she bounces. Like, they're just... Like, to back that at 11-10, I think you're absolutely insane. If you want to back an 11-10 shot, there's plenty tomorrow running at 11-10 that are far more likely to get the job done in a race anywhere near as competitive. See if Class, I think the draw is really... While Waldgeist has drawn 13, C-Class drawn 15. C-Class will be held up, and I think it's a massive... I wouldn't be happy with the draw. I know Niall is on her at a massive price. I think he'd be cursing the draw small, but even though he thinks it doesn't make too much of a difference because she'd be held up anyway. But there's no cutaway this year as well, which is going to impact the race, because before you had a bit of room, so if you're up the rail... And those with front start to fall back in your lap, which is going to happen. If you look at the draw, I'll just sort of draw there... like Clincher has drawn one. He'll probably go forward. Nelson three, I imagine he'll go forward. Capri will probably be in the first five. He's drawn four. Tiberian, I'm not sure about him. Salouin's drawn seven. He'll go forward. So the horses drawn low will all go forward, and they'll probably be close enough to the rail, so you can easily see them kind of falling in a hole two furlongs out. And I don't think you want to be on the rail with them falling back onto your lap. Well, guys, just this year, like, what really changed my mind about him was the last day, because I priced up the trials at Longchamp that day, and I thought that everything was set up for Talismatic winning the last day, because he'd had a run in a Group 3, won very easy. The ground was on the good side, which he wants. Like, this is a Breeders' Cup turf winner. He was second in the Hong Kong Vase to Highland Reel. He's a top-class horse. And Fallgeist came on the bridle and blew past him without even a touch of the whip. I couldn't believe it. I didn't think he was capable of running like that. And I'll be honest, John, Monday I had probably the biggest bet I've had in a year each way on that. Fallgeist. Wow.
Excellent. It's a big bet.
I was probably there today going, did I go too far? But hopefully I won't. But I haven't. But well, I think it's got a huge chance.
Him for not winning the Irish Derby last year, and then he got beat by Daniel Kodiak at Ascot.
last year's form, you wouldn't give him a hope. Like, even before Longchamp, I wouldn't have given him anything. Like, even the run when he beat the Singa Secret, that was sixth in the arc, I think, last year. Like, that was a good effort. But at the same time, it didn't really, you know, scream arc to me. But the last day, like, to do what he did, like, even looking at the time, while overall it was far slower than the Vermoy, because they went right clipping that, they went slow on this, and he quickened so easily past good horses. Like, if you think, what's he going to find off the bridle? He's going to find even more. Because, like, if you go back to the day when he beat Coronet, he really had to put the head down in battle that day, and he did it. So he's got a bit of class, he's got a bit of grit. And again, we're just relying on Enable not running to her best, which is possible. If she runs her best, we're only playing for the places. But if she doesn't run to her best, I think you've got a massive chance at Wildgeist.
Wow.
And he is going to be clear second favourite on the PMU as well, isn't he? By some margin, don't you think?
I think it was 9-1 on Monday, and I had a crack at that, because I just thought there was a chance he could. Like, if he was drawn 8 or 9, I think there'd be a good chance he could go off 9-2.
What price did you get after the trials, Frank?
Didn't back him after. I actually hesitated for a little bit, thinking with Cracksman and, you know, stuff in there, that he'd, you know, you'd still get a double figure price.
Oh, I see. Sorry, you lumped on this Monday.
I had a crack on Monday when he was 9-1 Monday, and I was like, oh, there was a potential he could go off half the price if he got a good draw. So I got stuck in.
Okay, no fewer than five other Group 1s supporting the ARC, and the first of them is the 120. It's the Qatar Prix. Marcel Boussac, Rock is the unbeaten favourite. Frank, what's the latest betting?
Yeah, she's 13-8. Star Terms is 130. Serotonia 9-2. Pink Dogwood 5-1. Dubai Beauty 10-1. And we're 16 bar.
DJ, have you got a strong fancy here?
I do. I'm just surprised. This is not even staying loyal to Ireland or anything, but I'm surprised at how big of a price Pink Dogwood is, because Rock the favourite, like, just like, well, snug enough, but just about beat Serotonia, who I don't think is anything special. So it's favourite because it's won three in a row, but I wasn't overly blown away last time by Rock. Pink Dogwood is gradually getting there. It absolutely bolted up in Goran Park last time. Like, the time before, it ran against Trathias, which is reasonable form, but it just looked a different filly altogether at Goran Park. It wasn't the worst maiden I've ever seen either. Won by 7 lengths. Aidan O'Brien has won this race 2 times in the last 4 years with Found and Ballydoyle. I'd say Pink Dogwood is probably as good as Ballydoyle. And I thought there's some 13-2 out there. Like, she should be nearly favourite, I think.
Okay, Frank, what do you think?
I think if you watch the video the last day of Roque winning, it's how she did it. Like, she was a bit keen, but she travelled like a machine through it. And she's kind of idle when she hit the front, like, she didn't clear away at all. I think it is significant that Ains won this twice in the last 4 years. Charlie Appleby's won it the last twice. And Serotonia looks like she's been lined up for this. But it's difficult to see how she turns the form around. I think that filly that won in France, Roque, is probably very useful. I think she'd be tough to beat. I can see Star Terms going well as well. She ran a cracker in the Mayhill, looked all over the winner until she got nabbed late by Fleeting. But I think she could go well, but it's difficult to look beyond the fact for me.
Kills?
I watched that race in France, but what struck me was how well she travelled, and then she really had to, you know, she really struggled to win. She looked like she was going to go win 3 or 4 lengths. I really hate the use of idle too much. I mean, it might be the truth for somebody, but most horses, when they say they've idled, it's just they're getting tired. Like, you know what I mean, they're not idling at all. No. They just they're coming to the edge
just
of their
run
tether.
A mile, yeah. Full pelt, and then suddenly
exactly. Now I think it's overused. I'm not saying it never happens, but I just think it's massively overused. And you know, and Frank might be right, but I think it's massively overused. Sarah Toney was only having her second start. I mean, she's obviously a bit quirky herself because she runs in a hood. But she did put her head down and she battled and battled about. She only got beat 3/4 of a length. I give her a shot. But you know, everyone stopped talking about Dubai Beauty. I mean, she was an absolute machine before the Bay Hill. She went off at 11-8. Everybody, you know, anybody who's ever used a clock was telling you that this is a Group One filly.
Oh well, like, we all know how brilliant that lot.
But she did look really, good at Newmarket, and you know, these horses are put up. These 2-year-olds are put up big. Big figures first time out, often bounce second time out. And, you know, Godolphin have won this race with two big priced horses in the last couple of years, and she's 10-1. She's better. She's better than she was in the May Hill. They're running her here for a reason. And again, I don't think any of the form's that solid.
Okay. I don't think it's so much idling, DJ. It's just that some horses don't like to be out in front. They get a bit lonely, don't they? It's the pack instinct.
Yeah, I can see, Paul. Like, we do use it too much. Oh, he was, you know, won by a neck and was idling. We probably do use it too much.
Yeah, I mean, how many times when you use the word idling, you know, if you'd put another horse 4 lengths in front of it, would it have also won and idled? Mm. You know what I mean? I'm not convinced that many of these horses would have found much more. That's the point I'm saying.
Okay, let's do the 155 then. It's the Jean-Luc Lagardère, the 2-year-old colts in action now, and Freddie Head has the odds on Jolly Frank.
Anador is 4-5, Botran 3-1, Royal Marine 6-1, Shaman 8-1 along with Broom, and Dark Jedi is the outsider 25s.
And you're going first, Frank?
Yeah, Anador will win, simple as.
Right.
Beat Persian King on debut. That Persian King is one that Tom Segal is banging on about for the 2000 Guineas. Beat it easy, won a Group 3 the last day here over this course and distance, and looks very useful. I don't like Royal Marine, I think the time boys are saying might have done a good time at Doncaster, and Botron's form is way below Anador's, in my opinion. Yeah, so I think that'll just win.
Kills?
Yeah, I think it'll probably win. I don't think the race he won last time was all that good, to be honest. A third had already been beaten in listed company, but I actually thought Anthony Van Dyck was a certainty, and he wasn't entered. Aidan O'Brien is relying on Broom instead. I can't quite understand that, but I'd imagine Anador will probably win now, yeah.
And David?
Yeah, I think Anador is a good thing. Like, that Persian King won by 6 lengths and 5 lengths on its next 2 starts. And I had to make the run the last day, Anador. I'd say it's better than that. Yeah, I'd be surprised if that's beaten.
Okay, a cracker at 3.50. It's the Prix de l'Opera, sponsored by Longines. 3-1 the field, Frank. Wild Illusion heads the market.
Yep, she's 3-1, Magic Wand, 4-1 with you, 5-1, Urban Fox, 10-1, Casteller, 12-1, and Angle Rhododendron, and Amarique, and we're 14s back.
Interesting old contest, Kills. Who wins?
I think it's fairly straightforward. I just think Wild Illusion will win. I just don't think she stayed. I don't think she stayed a mile and a half in the Oaks or in the Ribblesdale, but she still finished second in either. She dropped down. She won the Nassau easily. She won the Prix Marcel Boussac at Chantilly last year easily enough as well. Yeah, I think she wins.
DJ?
I think there's too much, maybe not with Powers, but I think with other firms, there's too much of a gap between Wild Illusion and Magic Wand. I know it was a mile and a half, but Magic Wand had Wild Illusion beaten far before Stamina came into play, I thought, in the Ribblesdale, won by 4 lengths. Magic Wand got sick after that, like so many of Aidan's. And I just think she's been built back up. Like, don't forget, she started odds on favourite to beat Sea of Class in the Irish Oaks. And they absolutely hammered her in the market that day. She obviously wasn't right. She came back last time at Longchamp in the Prix Vermeil, and she missed the break that day, and she had to work harder than usual to get into a good position. And I think that would bring her on a ton. And I'd say you'll see the real Magic Wand this time. And I just think she's a better filly than Wild Illusion, whether it's 10 furlongs or a mile and a half. And I don't think the trip is going to inconvenience her too much. I think she's got plenty of pace. So Magic Wand for me, there is some 11-2 out there.
Now, Frank, you promised us at the start of the show that you were supremely confident about one. Is it in this race, or have we still got to wait a little longer?
It's not this race, no. No.
Which one is it?
It's in the Abbey.
Okay, right. Well, we'll do you first for the Abbey. But before that, we'll get your Prix de l'Opera thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult race to weigh up. I wouldn't be overly confident in anything. Like, I think the lads make good points for both horses, Wild Illusion, Magic Wand. I'm going to take a chance on one, maybe a small bit each way, on With You for Freddie Head. Her, I think it's her full sister, We Are, won this race in 2014. Had a pretty similar profile. We are one, the Allery, but was subsequently disqualified, while With You was beaten a short head by Lawrence in the Allery this year. She was only beaten half a length in the French Oaks. Again, running really well. She's won a Group 1 at Deauville back at a mile, and she ran a cracker in the Jacques Lemarwa behind Alpha Centauri and Recoletos when she was third. She did a lot of the donkey work that day. I think she can go well each way, but it's not a race I'd be overly confident in. I think Wild Illusion and Magic One set a decent standard, but I'd be pretty sure With You, this has been the target for most of the year.
Okay, let's go to a race where you are supremely confident. The 425, the Prix de l'Abbé, sponsored by Longines. Batash, a hot favourite. What's the latest betting, Frank? And then we'll get your selection.
We're 11-8, City Light 5-1, Tantime 11-2, Mabs Cross 8-1, along with Soldier's Call, Havana Grey 9-1, and we're 16's bar.
Okay, before you do it, I want you to give us one of those sort of, oh my goodness, I really fancy one here. Right then, Frank, what do you like here?
Oh yeah, I really fancy one. I mean, really, like, do you know the way you just watch a race and just, like, some people might have that experience when they like see a woman and they fall in love with it. I just saw a horse and it's like, oh my God, I love this. Like, huh? Oh yeah, it was something similar with Jill, but not quite as, I didn't know it as quick with Jill as I did with this horse. but Tantime absolutely blew me away the last day. Now, I've been trawling through Twitter this week wondering if they'd supplement. Now, I think what's very significant is that it's owned by Sheikh Hamdan Al Maktoum, who also owns Batash, and he's put his hand in his pocket and supplemented this filly for the race. Now, that'll tell you she must be working really well at home and that maybe they're not as confident as you think they should be with Batash. Now, like, to give some context to how good this filly was thought of as a two-year-old, she went off 5-2 for the Mornay, where she was very disappointing. She didn't run again last year until returning over 7 furlongs and very bad ground in the Group 3 Deauville. Again, she ran terribly, but then they dropped her to 6 furlongs at Deauville. She absolutely laughed at Laugh a Minute, won unbelievably impressively, and then went to Longchamp, dropped to 5. Now, she's bred to actually stay probably further than a mile, so you'd think that's a bit of a worry. Now, she broke really slowly. If you go back and watch the video, I'd encourage you to watch the video. She broke really slowly, yet by about a furlong and a half out, she was in front. And while a lot of people, I was just trying to switch to see people's opinions, thought City of Light was given a shocker and potentially was a little bit too far back, what this horse did between maybe 2.5 furlongs to half a furlong out blew my mind. She just put the race to bed in a heartbeat. And I think she's drawn 5 here. There is plenty. My one small worry would be there is potentially plenty of pace on, because Soldier's Call is low and Batash has drawn 6 next to it as well. And they could go mental and set up for City of Light, but he's drawn out wide in 13, which isn't ideal. But this horse, watch the video the last day. Like, I wish, yeah, I'm going to have a whack on this.
Excellent. Okay. I mean, are you not slightly concerned about the horse in the same ownership, one Batash? I mean, if he comes away and does his thing, then Tontine's got to be an absolute aeroplane to catch him, surely.
Oh, potentially, yeah. Like, as in, but he's not one you can set your clock on. I know he won last year, but I mean, like, take it this year. One of his 4 runs this year, the run at Goodwood is the only time he's really hit last year's form. And it could just be Goodwood is his track, because he really did the same last year. Like, he's won at Haydock, all out to do that. He's beaten at Ascot. He's flopped again at York. Like, do you want him back in 11-8? This horse Tantime just, whatever it was, got my blood pumping, and I think she's a right chance of turning over the 5 here.
Okay, Kiels, it doesn't really matter what you're going to say. I'm going to back Frank's
one. But, yeah, I mean, the thing about Tantime, she, you know, she is a slightly bigger price than City Light, which doesn't really make sense. Now, City Light also missed a break that day, but I mean, Tantime did as well, so no real excuses. I mean, she does look very good. I mean, we're both thinking of backing Laugh a Minute at Ascot earlier in the day, whose form that ties in with. But I do think if Batash bounced back, I think most of his form is still good enough to win it if you ignore those two York runs. I just don't think he likes York at all. I just don't think he lets himself down there. Loxong won last back-to-back winner of this, won it for the second time, having finished last at York in the Nunthorpe the time before. So, I mean, these sprinters can bounce back. The one thing is that the sprint course is miles away from the stands, and that is obviously going to suit him as well. So he's not going to be near any noise. And I just think he's going to be extremely, extremely hard to beat if he runs to his best. But I can see where the, I can see where the interest in Tan Theme each way is coming from.
DJ, what's your Abbey verdict?
Yeah, my theory with any race involving Bathash is that you can't back Bathash and you can't back against him because you don't know which Bathash is going to show up. And if the real one does show up, he wins. And if he doesn't show up, obviously, you just don't know when it is. I think the key thing Paul said there is that the race is so far away, the starting stall is so far away from the stands. I think that's crucial. I think with Bathash, you just have to sit and watch and enjoy and hope that he's on a going day. But after listening to Frank's rendition there, it's probably the race I'm most looking forward to all weekend because, boy, like that was excitement on a scale of one to Frank Hickey excitement or one to Frank Hickey excitement. That was proper Frank Hickey excitement.
I don't get the where you can't trust Bathash, to be honest. If you take out the two York efforts, he's won six of his last seven runs and finished second in the King Stand. Like, you know what I mean? It's just he just doesn't like York. So, you know, I think he should be odds on.
OK, fair enough. Right then, the final Group 1 of a superb card at Longchamp on Sunday is the 5 o'clock. It's the Qatar Prix de la Forêt. Polydream, Freddie Head is the fav. Frank, what's the latest?
Yeah, she's 13-8. Sir Dancelot 6-1. James Garfield and Gustav Klimt are 8-1. Jimmy 2x 10-1. Inns of Court and Tornabush are 12-1 and we're 16s bar.
I will be wandering around Longchamp with a wheelbarrow and a bottle of expensive red after the Abbey, and I'm just working out how much I'm going to have on my beloved James Garfield. Kills, can you talk me out of this?
No matter what I say, you'll still back it anyway, won't you? I mean, there's no point in trying. I really wanted to try and find something to oppose Polydream with, but I thought she won the Maurice de Guise pretty well. That was a really, really strong running. The extra half furlong isn't going to make any difference to her. She's got trap three. She's going to be really hard to beat. I mean,
you know, a lot of these fans other on form,
yeah, I do.
Though.
Yeah, I'm struggling to, you know, I like
that's right.
Get stuck into something. I mean, that old rat that is Gustav Klimt. I mean, if that's a price, I mean, that, you know, that could go well. But I mean, just look at the Phil form figures next to his name since he last won 3-2-3-4-5-3. Just not doing it. I'm a massive, massive fan of Sir Dancelot, but he shouldn't have run on every ground at Haydock last time. He'd be having his, you know, 10th or so run of the year, and he's drawn stall 16, so can't have him. I just think Polydream will probably win.
Perhaps you should have a Favs multiple kill on Sunday.
Oh, I can't do that. Me and Frank fancy quite a lot of the same ones today, so we might have a little Goliath for afterwards.
A Goliath. I love a Goliath. DJ, what do you fancy in the foray?
Bruce, if ever there was a race, a track, everything made for a horse, it is the enigma that is Dutch Connection, who showed far more last time at Doncaster, hit the front too soon. Like, he's a horrible horse and he doesn't really like winning. But 16 runners on a right-handed bend around Longchamp. He's drawn in stall one. I just think this race is going to be tailor-made for him. I can see him absolutely tanking two out, coming in, looking for a gap. I think he'll finish in the first three or four. There's 20-1 out there. I just think while he's been very disappointing, I think he's a better horse in a race like this where they go really fast from the outset. And I think you'll see the real Dutch Connection on Sunday. I think he'll be placed and there is 20-1 out there.
Okay, and Frank?
Yeah, we're four places as well. So if you're looking for an each-way bet, that's a bit of value there. But look, Polydream is the one to beat. She's probably short enough now. Like it's in a few Shrewdies were in backing her at 3-1 maybe 10 days ago or so. I hate the horse, but at the same time, the way Aidan's horses are running, Gustav Klimt, I'd nearly give him an each way shout here, just on the back of he's run a lot better in the Haydock Spring Cup than I thought he ever would, considering the ground and the trip. When you go back, like he was second to James's Palace, third in the Irish Guineas, gone off what close to fav for the 2000 Guineas in Newmarket, fourth in at Goodwood in the Sussex Stakes. Like he's thereabouts, and just if the extra little bit of improvement that's in Aidan, say, in the last month or 6 weeks, so can be transferred across to him, I think he could hit the frame at least anyway. He's got a good draw on too as well. It's not the deepest race ever either.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much, guys. That really has whetted my appetite for a fantastic racing weekend. Kills, what are you going to be doing? Kicking back and enjoying the action from the sofa?
I think I'm going to sit down and do nothing all day Saturday and all day Sunday. It'd be great.
Fantastic. Just bet.
Yeah, just punt.
Brilliant. And DJ, when are you flying out?
Yeah, I have the worst and the best weekend coming up. Tonight and all day tomorrow, we've got our bloody marriage course. I don't know if Frank did that. It's just this thing you have to...
It's horrific.
Is it like a speed awareness course?
Oh, it's the worst thing. Like, as in, you know, what do you do if you argue? You lock her under the stairs until she realises she's wrong, like, you know?
Having thrown her down, first of all.
All right, Kills. I'm going to escalate that one.
It's like this really uncomfortable bit when, like, a priest is telling you how to live with a woman. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, this is madness. But it's just a money-making racket. You have to pay.
Well, you have to pay.
It's like about €200 or €300 to do it, like, and you can't get married without it.
Oh, that's ridiculous. So it's like a sort of theory course for your driving test.
When I did it, it was a Saturday when, like, they won those Cheltenham meetings in October, November, like, and it was just horrific because not only had to do the course, but I was missing Cheltenham as well.
Could you sneak your mobile in?
Very difficult, because they get you to do kind of practical things as well, where you have to kind of, you know, discuss issues that might happen and how you'd resolve it. And
that sounds horrendous.
It is terrible. As I always say, just bottle it up and you'll be grand, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's tonight and tomorrow. So I'm missing all the race on Saturday, and then I'm flying out to Paris on Sunday morning at 6:30. So first arc. So hopefully the excitement of looking forward to the arc will get me through Saturday.
Excellent. Are you staying over on Sunday night, DJ?
No, in and out on the same day.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's a shame. We could have had a drink. We could have done what me and Keels did when we went to the Arc together. On the Monday, it was absolutely hammering it down with rain. So we were at a bit of a loss of what to do. And I thought, well, let's do some cultural stuff. So I took Keels to the Louvre, and Keels isn't really that cultural. But by the end of it, we managed to find a way to amuse ourselves, haven't we? What we would do is we take it in turns, because each of the works of art has a little card by the side of it with the name of the painter and the year it was painted in. And we took it in turns. You'd pick a picture that was far enough away that you could see what the picture was but not read the card. And you had to take it in turns to say which year you thought it was painted in, and then the other one would go higher or lower. So we actually managed to make a really good punting event out of a trip to the Louvre.
Money exchanged hands, and what the other punters there were thinking when we walked up to the picture, and the loser swore at the other one.
Oh, yes, 1934.
But Keel's got a real expert. He could know what the Byzantine era was by the end of it, and then the abstract. It was absolutely brilliant. It was good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I went again in August, but it just bit a little bit over my head, to be honest.
Well, you took Kirsty.
Yeah, I took Kirsty. Yeah,
tried to play the before or after game, and exactly. She wasn't interested.
I was talking to Alistair Down during the week, and I was telling him, oh, I'm going to Paris for the first time, going to the Arc. He goes, don't do what I did last year. And I said, what happened? I didn't get home till the Friday. Stayed there for the whole week.
No, don't do that, DJ. We need you back on duty. Frank, what are you going to be doing all weekend?
I'm working for the weekend, actually, and Jill's away at a wedding Saturday, so I'll probably just come home and the build up to Sunday, and then hopefully I won't be depressed Sunday evening. I'm hoping Tom Team keeps the mood high.
Good luck, Frank. Good luck, guys. Thank you very much indeed. If you do enjoy these shows, don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. We're back on Monday to review a fantastic weekend. Don't forget, we've got golf postcasts every Wednesday, football every Thursday, and we're back next Friday. Thanks very much indeed for watching or listening.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.